Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Monday, the 20th of August, the year 2012. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll get the news about CBJ activities with City Manager Kim Kiefer. We'll also talk to Phil Crowder about the upcoming Juneau Dance Unlimited season. That writer's Almanac Birdone Music and more today on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy skies with low temperatures around 50 degrees. Forecast for Tuesday, it looks like mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain in the afternoon. Tuesday night, cloudy skies with a chance of rain, low temperatures around 49 degrees. Forecast for Wednesday, looks like cloudy skies with a chance of rain and high temperatures around 58 degrees.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. At a time when much of the country is experiencing severe drought conditions, one Lakota family is using modern technology in hopes of solving an age-old problem. As Jim Kent reports from the Pine Ridge Reservation, collecting rainwater can not only bring more water into a home, but some clean water.
Alex and Deb Whiteplume have just had a rain catchment system installed on their home, north of the village of Manderson. The California-based nonprofit Waves for Water travels the world providing access to clean water for communities in need, says founder John Rose.
We have active programs in 13 countries, Indonesia, Brazil, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nicaragua, India.
John's father, Jack, is the rain catchment specialist.
We can take any building and make it into a rain catcher simply by putting rain gutters on it.
But it's not just about providing clean water for circumstances like the Whiteplumes, whose well, like most water sources on the Pine Ridge Reservation, is contaminated by uranium. It's also about bringing water into areas that are suffering from drought. Considering the fact that it takes just 1 inch of rain to provide 500 gallons of clean water into her new holding tank, Deb Whiteplume says her rain catchment system should be the norm, not the exception.
I think water is being handled in a really disrespectful manner. I think water is being wasted. It's being contaminated.
Deb Whiteplume says that people everywhere need to stand up and defend their grandchildren's right to clean drinking water. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
Voter advocacy groups are gearing up for the November election. Organizers in New Mexico are pushing for Native voters to get out and get registered. As part of our ongoing series examining the Native vote, reporter Tristan Autone has more.
Voter advocates say there are two things Native voters in New Mexico should do this election to ensure their vote counts: register to vote and vote early. Diane Wood is with Common Cause New Mexico, a voter protection organization. She says Native Americans make up nearly 10% of the state. However, according to her latest batch of figures, just over 2% are unregistered, amounting to almost 6,000 Native voters eligible to vote statewide but not registered to do so.
We just had the Rice and Cibola County and Socorro County and Valencia County where 9 votes decide that Rice, and that impacts the Laguna and the Acoma Pueblo up there. 9 votes. And I am sure there's more than 9 people not registered to vote over there that could always make a difference in any race.
Wood says nothing should keep people from being able to vote and stresses that with potential issues for Native voters like language translation needs and long distances to travel in order to register and vote, people should get to the polls sooner than later to make sure they don't experience any problems and, if possible, vote in person. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Autown.
Former U.S. Senator Byron Dorgan and founder and chairman of the Center for Native American Youth at the Aspen Institute is in New Mexico. Dorgan is scheduled to speak with Navajo students at the Rema community today and tomorrow with San Felipe Pueblo youth. The discussions are to hear comments about the needs and priorities they see in their communities. A new skate park is being opened on the Red Lake Nation in Minnesota. A ceremony is scheduled for next Wednesday. The event will include skateboard demonstrations, contests, and prizes. The new 7,000-square-foot park and renovations to basketball courts were made this summer as part of an initiative to engage the community's youth in activities to promote healthy lifestyles. During this week in 1962, the first Klamath Salmon Festival was held on the Yurok Reservation in Northern California. The event observes the return of salmon to the Klamath River and celebrates the Yurok culture and tradition. It also yields a huge salmon feast. The 50th anniversary was held August 18th near Klamath, California. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kowanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation, and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:06 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. As we do on the third Monday of every month, we talk to Kim Kiefer, City Manager. Kim is on the phone with us today. Kim, thank you for being on the air with us today.
Thank you, Jeff.
So we got a few questions here, courtesy of the KTOO News Department. Ready
okay.
to go?
I am ready to go.
The Assembly has approved the two ballot initiatives to extend the 1% sales tax for some projects and bond for others. Voters have always approved the sales tax extension, but this year there seems to be some reluctance organized early in the campaign. What's the plan if either or both of these ballot propositions fail?
Well, if both of them fail, the 1% sales tax expires actually in October of 2013, and so there most likely will be some discussion about whether to put the 1% sales tax back on the ballot again next year. The reason we try to put it on a year ahead of time is so that they, for the businesses, they don't have a change of a 4% to 5% for just a couple weeks. We'd like to keep it consistent at the 5%, but if that doesn't pass, that could be an option. For the bonding projects, if that doesn't pass this year, then definitely those organizations or those departments will be looking at other funding sources and continue to do what they've done already, which is looking for grants, looking at other ways to be able to continue to move forward on those projects.
And thank you, Kim. The Assembly will receive an update on capital transit service in the Mendenhall Valley at tonight's committee of the whole meeting. Can you describe the proposed changes and give us a timetable for when they will be implemented?
Well, I'm sorry to say they won't be implemented right now. What the Assembly asked us to do is to look at Riverside Drive service, and we found that there's a lot of interest to have that Riverside Drive service, but right now with the service that we have and that connection that needs to be done at Nugget Mall, we can't run the route that we wanted to try and run that comes down partially on the back loop road and then cuts across over to Riverside and goes by Diamond Park, thus being able to take care of Thunder Mountain High School, the aquatic facility, and the field house. So what we're going to be doing is working on a transit development plan and updating that transit development plan. So we'll be going back to the Assembly in the near future to close out a couple capital improvement projects and hopefully put that funding into the plan, that transit development plan. And that plan will look at the route for Riverside and look more in depth on how we have our current route systems in place and how can we do it so that we would be able to provide some level of service to the Diamond Park area.
Thanks, Kim. Also on the agenda for tonight's committee, the whole meeting is an update on Ock Bay traffic revisions by the State Department of Transportation. What kind of input has the city given DOT on the proposed roundabout and other road projects in the area? What does the city's comprehensive plan say about the Ock Bay area, and will there be a major planning effort for the area likely, like the city did with the Willoughby District?
A lot of questions on that one. So what tonight's meeting is an overview for the Assembly of all the plans that have been adopted by the Assembly that address Ock Bay, and specifically looking at the comprehensive plan, the non-motorized transportation plan, and the Safe Routes to School plan, as well as the Juneau Area-Wide Transportation Plan. So CDD staff will overview specifically those plans and the areas in those plans that address Ock Bay. And then what will happen at the next committee of the whole is that we will have DOT give the presentation of what the current plan is. And so that will be at the September 10th meeting. Department of Transportation and Public Facilities will come and update the Assembly of where they are right now with the planning process for that roundabout at the DeHarts intersection. Community development staff did provide some scoping comments early on in the project that talked about looking at the transportation, looking at sidewalks, looking at bike lanes, looking at shoulder widths, so that it can be a walkable, easy to get around area because of the variety of different uses that happen in that relatively small segment of the highway.
I'm talking to City Manager Kim Kiefer about the various activities going on around the city and borough of Juneau. We have questions courtesy of the KTMO News Department. The Assembly recently received a report for the price tag for the new floating cruise ship docks went from $63 million to $71 million to accommodate the Taku Smokeries dock. Will the project still move forward, and if so, how will the city pay for it?
One of the items that the Committee of the Whole tonight will be talking about is having a port revenue bond to not exceed $29 million to help pay for that project. In addition to those funds, the Assembly has talked about having other funding from grants that we currently have received already for this project, as well as looking at port development fees as well as the bond issue. Sorry, lost my train of thought. The whole package will come together with bonding, will come together with grants that we already have some of, and that whole amount will total approximately, without interest, about $88 million, and that will allow the what is commonly referred to as 16B to move forward along with Seawalk that will provide the access for the visitors along the waterfront as well as the residents. So the Assembly Committee of the Whole will be looking at an ordinance that was introduced last Monday night and that will be heard next Monday night to authorize the sale of these bonds.
And what time does the Committee of the Whole meeting start tonight?
The Committee of the Whole meeting starts tonight at 6 o'clock in the Assembly Chambers.
Speaking of the cruise ship docks, the Assembly last week voted to accept an appeal by a Douglas couple for the Planning Commission permits issued for their construction. Can you briefly describe what specifically they're appealing and what you expect the Assembly to take up in the matter?
They're appealing the permitting of this dock. The specifics of it, I think what I've heard is that they're concerned about the process that it happened, that there was not enough public process as part of that Planning Commission process. Even though the Planning Commission heard it two different times, they felt the timing of it wasn't beneficial to fishermen because the final Planning Commission meeting was held when most of the fishermen were out doing what they do. So the Assembly has decided to hear the appeal themselves and have set a hearing officer. Johan Dibdahl will be the presiding officer for this appeal. And they're in the process of working through that appeal right now and setting up the time frames and the meeting schedule for that.
Kim Kiefer from the City Department of Juneau, she's the city manager. Do you have anything you'd like to say that I might have forgot to ask?
Well, I just want to do one update. We also had a Public Works and Facilities Committee meeting today at noon, and there were probably two things on that agenda that we're moving on to the Assembly that I wanted to highlight. One is that the Public Works and Facilities Committee approved putting through a grant request for Diamond Park Ground Source Heat Pump, and that's if, of course, the library proposition is passed in October for the funding for that. If that happens, then they want to make sure that they have additional funding to do the ground source heat pumps for that facility, which will help them on their long-term operational costs. The Public Works and Facilities Committee approved that today to pass that on to the Assembly, and that will be heard next Monday night at the Assembly meeting. And then the other item that they supported that I think is of public interest is Parks and Recreation has been working on the off-road vehicle project out the road, and they are writing a grant to get some assistance to be able to help them with the design of that project, and the Public Works and Facilities Committee today supported a resolution to move forward with that OHV Park Planning Development grant, and that also will be heard at Monday night's assembly meeting.
Greenkeeper, thank you very much for being on the air with us today.
Thank you.
If you're not at the assembly meeting, the committee of the whole meeting, you might be listening to KTOO News. You can hear a broadcast of Heather Barr's speech before the University of Alaska Southeast, the collected enclave. That's happening tonight at 7 o'clock on Peace Talk.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 20th of August, 2012. It was on this day, 1940, Winston Churchill delivered a speech to the House of Commons with the famous line, "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few." It was in the midst of the Battle of Britain. He was referring to the Royal Air Force, who had held off the German Luftwaffe. Winston Churchill wrote all of his own speeches before he became Prime Minister. He was considered somewhat old-fashioned, but after the war began, his dramatic style fit the mood of the country. His father, Lord Randolph Churchill, served in Parliament and was famous for his spontaneous speeches, but Winston Churchill labored over every one. He researched them, planned out the speech in his head, dictated it aloud, revised it, and rehearsed it over and over, sometimes sitting in a bathtub. It's the birthday of the poet Heather McHugh, San Diego, 1948, who said, "I have always lived on waterfronts. If you live on the edge of an enormous mountain or an enormous body of water, it's harder to think of yourself as being so important. That seems useful to me, spiritually." Went to Harvard when she was 16, sold her first poem to the New Yorker a year later. Her books of poetry include Hinge and Sign and Upgraded to Sirius. It's the birthday of H.P. Lovecraft, born Providence, Rhode Island, 1890, who wrote science fiction, fantasy, and horror. His father had a nervous breakdown when he was a boy. Lovecraft was raised by his mother, two aunts, and his grandfather, who all lived together. The books of H.P. Lovecraft, still widely available, books like The Dreams in the Witch House and other weird stories. H.P. Lovecraft, who said, "I never ask a man what his business is, for it never interests me. What I ask him about are his thoughts and dreams." And it's the birthday of the novelist Jacqueline Suzanne, born Philadelphia, 1918, came to New York to become an actress, did some commercials, had bit parts, worked as a model, wrote a book about her poodle, and then in 1966, she published a novel, Valley of the Dolls, about three young women in show business who are addicted to barbiturates, which they call dolls. The world of publishing hated Valley of the Dolls. Everyone agreed that it was trash. Truman Capote said Jacqueline Suzanne looked like a truck driver in drag, and all the negative publicity only increased the sales. It sold 8 million copies in paperback. Here's a poem for today by Denise Levertov, entitled Celebration. Brilliant this day, a young virtuoso of a day. Morning shadows cut by sharpest scissors, deft hands, and every prodigy of green, whether it's ferns or lichen or needles or impatient points of bud on spindly bushes, greener than ever before. And the way the conifers hold new cones to the light for blessing, a festive rite, and sing the oceanic chant the wind transcribes for them. A day that shines in the cold like a first prize brass band swinging along the street of a cold, dusty village, wholly at odds with the claims of reasonable gloom. Celebration, a poem by Denise Levertov from This Great Unknowing, published by New Directions and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Reputation.com, a service for managing businesses' online image by working to improve how they look in search engines and review sites, Reputation.com. Written by Betsy Alistair, produced by Kathy Roach. Be well. Do good work and keep in touch.
Time is 3:20 and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next guest are here to talk about Juneau Dance Unlimited and also the Nutcracker and some high school activities, Richie Adon and Philip Crowder from Juneau Dance Unlimited. Philip and Richie, thank you very much for being on the show with us today.
Hi, Jeff. It's great being here.
So for people who do not know, could you elaborate on what Juno Dance Unlimited is?
Juno Dance Unlimited is a ballet school, a nonprofit that's been here for many years, over 30 years. And I'm the artistic director, and Richie is one of our instructors. We offer a wide variety of dance classes, different styles of dancing. We have creative movement classes for children ages 3 to 5. We have studies and movement classes for children 4 to 6. We have, as we move on up, we have ballet basics classes for children who are 6 to 7. And then after the beginning levels for the younger children, we get into the ballet levels of ballet 1, 2, 3, and 4. And our ballet 4 level is for the girls more advanced who are now doing point work and variations, and those are our older dancers, more high school age, which we're very proud of. We had many of them went off for the summer to different dance programs around the country. For example, Boston Ballet, Houston Ballet, Pittsburgh Ballet. In the past, we've had others go to Joffrey Ballet in New York and also in the Bolshoi Ballet Academy in New York. And so we're very proud of them that they come back really strong and very well trained, and it's a great benefit to Juno because we get to watch them dance, for example, in the upcoming Nutcracker.
And that's scheduled for the December 8th time?
Yes, the Nutcracker is going to be December 14th, 15th, and 16th this year at the Juno Douglas High School Auditorium. We're going to add an extra performance this year. We're going to do four performances plus a outreach school performance in the morning for Juno school children, which we've always been doing traditionally for the past few years. I'd also like to say that we're going to have open Nutcracker auditions on Saturday, September the 8th, from 1 to 5 p.m. Again, those are open Nutcracker auditions on Saturday, September the 8th, from 1 to 5 p.m. Anybody in Juneau who thinks they can dance or would like to be in the Nutcracker, they're welcome to come down to the studio. Our studio is located at 8420 Airport Boulevard. It's above the AK Litho building in Suite 202. You can also go to our website, junodance.org, for more information, more detailed information. And again, Nutcracker auditions are Saturday, September 8th from 1 to 5, and everybody in Juneau is welcome to come in and audition if they want to, if they think they can dance or act. We're always looking for people. It's a lot of fun. And one of the things this year that we're going to have is we're going to have a new modern dance teacher, Becky Engstrom. I think some people in Juneau are familiar with her. She's going to be teaching modern dance for us at the studio. We still have Julie Tran, who's a Juneauite. She used to be on the Juneau Douglas High School dance team. She's a wonderful hip-hop teacher. She's going to be teaching hip-hop for us, and she was really popular last year. And, of course, we have Miss Richie Adan, our American musical theater dance teacher, and she's just absolutely wonderful, and she's always busy doing something here.
Theater dance is basically different eras of dancing, from the Charleston to Latin to boogie-woogie to ballet and to rock and roll. But I've studied with the best, worked with Agnes DeMille, and worked a lot with Jerome Robbins. So a lot of those choreographers are in the repertoire of my classes. So they will learn, like, for example, I'm doing Oklahoma, and I'm bringing some of my the JDU wonderful ballet kids over there to have an experience, professional experience, and they're my dancers for that. So, and they do have a vocabulary of already of Agnes DeMille style, so which is easier for me as a choreographer to relay that, and it's a higher caliber of dancing.
Could you describe Agnes DeMille's style, please?
Agnes DeMille she was a dancer. She did a lot of ballet in the beginning, and then she did a lot of modern dance, and also she was a pantomimist, and she believed in the method acting, and there was a lot of collaboration on that part, and because Oklahoma has the nature, for example, like antelopes and all of that. So she puts that in the picture of Oklahoma, which is a landscape of how beautiful Oklahoma. And that's why the show itself has that sublime look to it. And it's something that America has and we want to see. It inspires other people, and it's a living painting, as a matter of fact. I call them, this was reconstructed works, living paintings. They're just not musicals, but they live. So and the dancers of JDU have been easy of accommodating for me to use the DeMille. Now I can use DeMille. I can use Robbins because they are now that kind of level. So that's why JDU has given that training to them, which is really a blessing.
How authorized is it to deviate from a style that's already known and choreographed in a play like Oklahoma?
Pardon? Say that again.
How safe is it to deviate from a style that's been choreographed by a performer?
Well, you have the show itself, which is a vast different styles in Oklahoma itself. You have the jig, you have different kinds of styles of dancing. But for me to have very skilled dancers like JDU dancers will give me a higher opportunity to create in a higher level. So that's why I'm really, and you have the jig there, you have clog dancing, but I can make that a tour, and I can make that a cabriol. I can do anything with these dancers, which is a blessing.
Yeah. A basic ballet technique, ballet training, is what you need a lot of times for this kind of choreography. Ballet has always been used as a base, a training base for other dance forms. You find that the ballet-trained dancers are the ones that you'll see dancing on Broadway, you know, in other shows. Ballet has always been the basic training methodology for most dancers. And when you go to see Broadway shows, especially the older ones like Oklahoma and West Side Story and
King
and all the others, you see a lot of ballet-trained dancers. So we're very proud of our dancers, JDU. They've worked very hard to develop themselves, and now they're able to be used in professional theater. Perseverance, for example, is using them for Oklahoma, and I cannot tell you how proud we are of our students for being able to be involved in that kind of a collaboration.
It's obvious that the students get to refine their technique, but what do you personally get back from teaching young people how to dance, how to refine their technique?
What I get back from them is that there's a relationship between a teacher and a student, and that's a very special one when you are working with them one-to-one, and it's more personal in a sense because you help them grow, and they need you, and it's much more than an applause to me. They leave when they grow up, when they go to the Bolshoi or when they go to the company, they go away. But that special time, those moments that I have training them and finally seeing in their eyes that great aha that a teacher always needs, and that's the only applause the teacher really needs. It really doesn't have to be that she's a ballerina or whatnot, but the understanding and the twinkling of that eye of that kid says, now I know what you're saying.
Do you describe that a little bit more? That it's like a very magical moment.
Well, that moment when the kid finally understands what you're teaching. And sometimes you teach that every day, they don't get it. And all of a sudden, one day, bing,
See the
There's
spark.
You see that twinkle in the eye. Now I know what you're saying. And that's a special moment. And as a teacher, that's my applause. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I've been teaching for about 30 years, and every day I learn something from my students. They always have something to teach me. The way they attack and approach and the hard work they put into their daily training, it's always inspiring to me as a teacher to see how hungry they are, how passionate they are, and how much they want to learn how to dance and to be performers. And it's just really amazing to see this, you know, year after year, these young people who are so passionate about what they're doing.
I was in the King and I once, and I've only been an angel in it, but there's a thing that Anna says in the King and I. It's a very ancient saying, but a true and honest thought, that if you become a teacher by your pupils, you'll be taught. And that is so true. I mean, a lot of people won't acknowledge that, but I learned more from them than anything. I become a better choreographer, teacher, human being, because they're telling me things that I learn every day, you know, so they're a blessing.
Yeah. At JDU, it's our goal is to give our students this experience. We try to do the best we can to train them professionally and open up this world of theater to them through dance or any aspect of theater. We're very happy that we're able to do that. And again, everybody's welcome to come to JDU and take classes. We start at age 3 all the way through adult, and we offer a variety of different classes there. And our semester starts on Monday, August 27th, next Monday, and it will go through toward the end of December to the Christmas holidays. And the semester ends with performances of our Nutcracker Ballet that we've been doing, I think since 2004, I believe. So it's been going for quite a while, and every year it gets more and more popular, and the kids love to be in it. Our younger children get a great opportunity to be on stage, in a professional theater venue, a professional theater setting. They get that experience, and they just love it. It's just really wonderful.
Another thing that's really quite special is that when these kids go to their summer camps, to the Bolshoi, and to Pittsburgh, to Houston, they come back strong. So we, Philip and I, can even build more. And then they go back, and it's a circle, you know. It just keeps feeding and feeding, which is great for us as artists, that we can have these kinds of kids that can give us this much. And we upgrade that level even more. So it's a great opportunity to have, if you have kids that are that special, it's the best of all. That's why I moved to Juno.
I'm talking to Richie Don and also to Philip Kreder about Juno Dance Unlimited. I want to get back to the aha moment and find out about your personal aha moments.
Yes. Well, what about my aha moments?
Your personal aha moment, when you finally got what dance was all about.
My first aha is like when my teacher... I've worked with teachers like Lee Theodore, who is the original Anybody's of West Side Story, and Nanette Cherise. But those teachers, when I worked with them, they gave me moments that I had to realize my reality had to change. So certain moments that I've never thought of before. And then all of a sudden, I picked it up, and that's why I understand also why when the kids give me these eyes, is because I had those eyes too, because my teachers were fabulous teachers, but they gave me moments of truth to make me think, and I had to think about it, and then process it, and finally picked it up. I mean, I was working with Agnes DeMille, and the woman was witty, and demanding, but witty and funny. Funny, funny lady, and I liked her a lot because she was funny, but you're scared of her, you know? Those moments that with great people, you just know that this is special. And I think because I had that opportunity to be with them, I could transcend that and give it to my children.
Yes, and we try to pass on, you know, our experience in art and dance, you know, to our students, and it's very, very important in performing arts to do that. We never lose sight of the fact that it is a performing art. It's meant to be on stage, and so we try to instill that into our students, into our dancers, that everything you're doing is for the performance, is for the stage, it's for the audience, and this gives them a great sense of confidence and pride in what they're doing. Dance is a very interesting art form because you use your body to tell a story. You know, and music, and of course singers use their voices, and you know, and musicians use instruments. But for the dancer, your entire body is your instrument, and so it's a wonderful art form. It's probably going back to the very origins of man's experimentations with art. Movement was right there with banging on rocks and sticks.
I'm stuck on this aha moment because it's just such a magical moment. And I'm talking about now the aha moment. The aha moment the audience feels.
Oh, well, when a little girl sees Snow Queen or Sugar Plum do something and they go, oh, I want to be like that when I grow up.
Up on their point shoes, floating across the stage effortlessly.
moments that the kid remembers that she wants to dance. Those big moments. I just have experienced it because when I came to this country, I did not speak English. So all I heard, I read was energy, and this is how you do things, and that's how I understood. Because English here is very fast. Back at home in the Philippines, it's slow, so I don't understand. But I do understand movement, I do understand energy, and I know when the teachers are not happy with me, or when they are really happy with me, or even just they see a spark in me. And you have to have that in order to be able to be a performer. As an artist, you need that.
Yeah. And you give that to the audience, and the audience gives it back
to
you.
It's the feedback. There's a relationship.
You could be dancing on stage in a performance, and it's just quiet. You can hear a pin drop. And you can become oblivious to the audience because you're so heavily involved in your movement, what you're doing. And then it stops. And then all of a sudden, there's an explosion of applause and cheering. And the audience just comes alive, and they give back to you what you just gave to them. It's an amazing feeling to feel that. It's a natural high, and it's very addictive.
Do you know Nancy Limited classes start this next week?
Yes, classes start on Monday, August 27th. Registrations have already begun. You can go to our website on junodance.org for all the information for registrations and classes that are available. Also, you can call 463-5327 or 463-LEAP, as we like to say, and contact Juno Dance Limited for more information on classes, registrations, and Nutcracker information. Everybody's invited to come and dance with us.
Grant and Richard, Dan, thank you very much for coming down to the station. Anything you'd like to add, I might have forgotten to ask.
Oh, no. I would like to invite you, Jeff, to come and dance with us.
You haven't seen me dance.
It doesn't matter. I'm sure we can find
something
for you.
A miracle would have to take place.
I'm sure you would be wonderful, Jeff. Yeah.
But you would see that in your eyes, though.
Thank you. Thank you for coming by.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
When I was working here, haven't gone to sleep.
Time is 3:44, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau. That was Bjork's doing a cover tune of Joni Mitchell's version of Boho Dance.
This is Bird Note. Few sights are as endearing as a mother redneck grebe with three stripe-headed downy chicks nestled on her back. As soon as the last egg hatches, the youngsters climb onto the parent and they leave the nest behind, gliding quietly over the water. This species breeds along the shores of northern lakes, with many other grebes and ducks, including mallards. So why do Alaskans, with disgust in their voices, call this bird the mugger? And scientists refer to the bird as highly aggressive. Well, these grebes are excellent divers and can swim underwater, coming up from below to attack other water birds. They'll snatch newly hatched mallard chicks and pull them down. Does the red-necked grebe deserve such a name? It is difficult for us to accept a bird killing another bird when the grebe doesn't eat what it kills. But what appears to us, in Tennyson's words, as nature red in tooth and claw, may be the functioning of a balanced ecosystem. Nature is complicated. You can connect with others, share photos, and learn what other listeners are thinking at our website, birdnote.org.
This broadcast is sponsored in part by Ron's Apothecary at the Mendenhall Mall. Seasonal changes may cause muscle strains and sprains. Ron's Apothecary carries a selection of resources for recovery. First aid kits, healing ointments, braces, and more. Ron's Apothecary at the Mendenhall Mall.
As a parent, you're probably aware of the advantages of homeschooling, but what type of program is best for your student? You might consider Homebridge, a program associated with the Juneau School District that offers involvement in school district extracurricular programs. Another Homebridge advantage is the allowance of up to two classes at a local high school with no allotment reduction. Homebridge, now accepting enrollments for the 2012-2013 school year. Call 209-HOME today.
Our last speaker tonight is Rich Moniak. Rich grew up in Massachusetts and came to Alaska in 1982. He has lived in Juneau since 1990. Rich is an engineer with a Coast Guard and a KTOO board member. He's involved in Juneau's peace and justice groups, is a big brother to a 9-year-old boy, and this year Rich is hosting an exchange student from Turkey. He also writes a bi-weekly column in the Juneau Empire. He likes hiking, kayaking, and talking to the trees. Here's Rich.
I guess I'm the shortest one here tonight. So my story begins with a kayak trip on Ock Bay. It was one of the typical beautiful Saturday morning, cloudy gray days that we all know in Juneau. I just bought a new kayak and I was taking it out for the first time, and I was anxious to get out there. After paddling about 20 minutes, I looked over my shoulder because my rudder was sticking, and the boat rocked a lot more than I expected it would. I had decided I better figure out how stable the boat was, so I leaned the other way, and I went too far and dumped myself right into the bay. I had never trained for that type of a thing. My extra tufts filled up with water pretty quickly, and I couldn't get them off, and I couldn't get back on the boat. I don't think I was in any real danger, but as I was swimming to the shore, I remember thinking about my parents and my kids, and wondering how they would feel if I didn't make it back. Then somebody picked me up in a jet ski, hauled me in the kayak back to the shore, and I walked to the house shivering, and it was hours before the cold would leave me alone. The next morning, I flew to Anchorage, and as we went over Ock Bay, I looked back down on the water, and I remembered how beautiful it was, floating at eye level, with all that green and gray around me. Was I lucky? Or would I have made it back without help? All those questions, and I went into a trance all the way to Prince William Sound when the plane suddenly got hit by a jolt of turbulence. And I find myself wondering then, how would I react if that plane suddenly took a dive and headed straight down to the Sound? I thought to myself, I'd rather go in the pleasant, quiet beauty of Southeast Alaska, kayaking in the water, than in a plane crash. Then another thought hit me like a brick. I thought maybe I didn't deserve to die a beautiful death because I hadn't done anything for 48 years. All the things that Alita introduced me to, other than being an engineer, weren't true back then. This was August 2004. That was 8 years ago. I was pretty much a loner at that time, and I was recovering from 7 years of custody battle over my daughter. I didn't have anybody to talk to during the entire time, and the questions of death just haunted me into October. That's when I met Stacy playing a card game online. She worked with terminally ill patients, so death became a natural part of our conversation, and she wanted to hear the whole story. We talked for 17 hours that day, and probably 100 hours in the next 3 to 4 weeks. Stacy was in her early 30s, and she was a fighter. She had a lot of energy, and she faced her challenges with a lot of courage. And she loved the great mysteries. What began as a connection in death flowered into a conversation about beauty and living, fate, and impossible love. I wrote to her every morning, long, long messages, and she would often tell me I would write beautifully. And she would say I needed to get out from under my rock and share them with the world. I would reply that I wasn't a real writer, it was just therapy for my soul. I went to visit her, flew 2,000 miles south two different times to visit her, and then it all fell apart in the winter. And like every heartbreak, it was pain and sorrow and a lot of questions. The biggest question was I worthy of the love she felt for me? And I thought, not unless I was the man she imagined I was, a writer. Now a writer wants an audience, and that's not what an introvert goes looking for. But Stacy didn't like quitters. So after indulging in the sorrow for a little while, I decided to write a letter to the Empire about the road going out of Juneau. And when they published that after a few weeks, I tried again with a My Turn about Walmart. And they published that too. About the same time, I found a new friend, a young lieutenant named Todd. I never talked with a man before about love, but I found myself telling Todd about falling in love with Stacy, the whole story. And Todd listened intently, and he kept telling me she'd come back. He also wanted me to go kayaking again. And in July, I finally found the courage to get back on the water. I rented a different boat and paddled from the harbor all the way out to the same place that I had tipped over. I was alone, but I felt Stacy was near me. And I looked up to the sky, and with a few tears in my eyes, I told her I was okay and it was time for me to let go. Todd was with me in Homer a week later when she called. And hearing her voice, it was so familiar, so energetic, it was easy to enjoy it. But we didn't seek romance this time. I began writing to her again every day. I told her that having her back was like finding the meaning at the end of the rainbow. And then a rainbow appeared and wrote itself into our story. And then the winds of war came home. My son was going back to Iraq for the third time. And when Cindy Sheen did her thing at Bush's Ranch, I decided I needed to write something. So I composed to My Turn opposing the war. And I felt confident this time the Empire would publish it. And Stacy was so proud of me when they did. There was another rainbow and a more compelling urge to honor our friendship. So I wrote another My Turn against the war. And this time I got a call from a peace activist in Juneau named Amy Page. It wasn't somebody I knew. And when she invited me to a meeting of the people, Juneau People for Peace and Justice, it was a group I'd never heard of. But I went this time. And I found myself writing a letter with Larry Herlock, another stranger. In fact, they were all strangers. We wrote a letter together to Congress calling for an end to the war. And then Judith Meyer gave up her spot to me to go sit and talk to the congressional delegation about the war. Rosemary Alexander put my voice into two anti-war stories at JPBJ during our protests. And when I wrote a story about reading the names of our fallen soldiers, Phil Smith, the president of Ventures of Peace, called it lovely and evocative. Stacy and I eventually lost touch with each other. Impossible love was our fate. But chasing the impossible made my transition possible. She came into my life to get me out from under my rock by teaching me I could be a real writer. Thank you.
Rich Moniak is one of the producers of Peace Talk, which can be heard tonight at 7 o'clock. Tonight, the broadcast of Heather Burr's speech at the University of Alaska Southeast recently. Time is 3:57 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. We broadcast 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Ock Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Switzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Davis listens on K201 AM 88.1, K220 BT Sirsuna at 91.9. An excursion in Nancy Strait here, KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. Also online at www.ktoo.org. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock on a Juneau afternoon, Pat Moore will be your host. He'll talk with Odette Edgar about this weekend's Community Garden Harvest Festival. Nicole Hollingstead and Ruth Johnson will be here to highlight Saturday's Beat the Odds Race Against Cancer. We'll learn about an upcoming hospice bereavement group with guest Elaine Schroeder, and we'll also get the details about a free community swim in Hoonah coming up later on this week. At Writer's Almanac, Bird on Music and More tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon. Weather forecast for tonight, sunny in the evening with cloudy skies. Later on, low temperatures around 50 degrees, southwest winds to 10 miles per hour. Forecast for Tuesday, cloudy skies with a chance of rain and high temperatures around 59 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain and that chance of rain predicted for Wednesday as well with cloudy skies and southeast winds to 10 miles per hour. Thanks for tuning into a Juneau afternoon today. Have a pleasant evening and enjoy the sun when you see it.
bit Romney and Paul Ryan on the campaign trail.
Paul, I've been taking all these first. It's not fair. So you take this one first,
right,
and I'll take the next one.
Happy to do it.
Maybe I will or I won't. We'll see.
The pair talked to voters at a New Hampshire town hall.
For Monday, August 20th, this is All Things Considered.
I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Melissa Block. Coming up, the parallel lives of the presidential candidates' wives. Today, the role of Ann Romney.
I think of Ann Romney as the fire and ice relationship between...